Thank you, Scott. Thank you for the extra minute, for putting me on your favorite marks list, too. That's good. I don't know how many are on that, but it's all right. I'm not going to ask. So. I ask you to turn to John chapter 6 tonight. And as you turn, I just want you to think for a moment about the question of whether or not in the life of the believer there is truly a distinction, a separation between the secular and the spiritual, as we might tend to divide those things up. And I think that in general we know what we're talking about. Spiritual things would have to do with our walk with the Lord Jesus, our relationship with God. Secular, we might put it over on the other side and say, well, these are things that have to do with this world. But I think that probably all of us, as we really think about that, would acknowledge that for the true believer, the one truly walking with the Lord Jesus or seeking to walk with the Lord Jesus, there's really no distinction there. There's no separation. There's nothing in the life of the believer that is not truly to be impacted by the gospel, by the Word of God, and by the Lord Jesus Himself. So I want to ask you to just another question here. This is the title of my devotional tonight, and I feel a little funny saying this, but here we go anyway. Here's the title of my devotion. Does Jesus care if I waste food? You think, what? Where is Mark coming from? All right, I'm coming from John chapter 6, all right? So we're going to read quickly the first 15 verses. Most of you know the story, but we're going to read it anyway for our context. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." First, I want you to notice that Jesus made a point of not wasting food. Now, we know the story well. He had fed 5,000 men plus the, we don't know how many women and children were there. He did that all with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, the lunch of a little boy. A miracle. We know the story. We know how there were 12 baskets left over. But, you know, one thing that for me, until recently in my personal quiet time as I was reading through this, that I had never really paid much attention to, was that little phrase that ends verse 12. "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Now, normally I would read that basically, "Gather up the fragments that remain." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. So, but I've never really paid attention, maybe you have, to that little phrase, "so that nothing is lost." Now, that was the goal of the Lord Jesus in having those fragments collected. Now, that word "lost" means destroyed, no longer usable. One translation, at least, translates that "wasted." And that's really the thought there, and I think that as we step back and look at it, we recognize that. This thought of destroying, being wasting, or making something no longer usable. We see it in Proverbs 18:9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer, a great waster. The Son of God cared, and He ensured that none of the infinite, theoretically infinite supply of food would be wasted. He could have made more, right? He could have made more. There was no limit to what the Lord Jesus could provide in food. But even then, He said, I don't want any of this food that God has supplied, I don't want it to be wasted. And the Spirit of God cared and included this verse and this phrase in the Bible. We often say, there's no words wasted in the Scripture, right? Every word is purposeful. There's a reason that it's there. Maybe there are multiple reasons that it's there. And so whether or not food was wasted mattered to Jesus. So as a follower of the Lord Jesus, I would suggest it should matter to me. I would suggest that it's a spiritual issue. That may sound a little strange, and if you want to discuss it afterwards, we can. But I believe it's a spiritual issue. So, first of all, Jesus made a point of not wasting food. Secondly, you're not going to find this in the passage, by the way, but let me mention that food waste statistics are surprising. Okay? A little research I'll share with you here. About 40% of the food that's grown, processed, and transported in the United States will go to waste. 40%. In 2015, 37.6 million tons of food was disposed of in the United States, according to the EPA. American consumers, businesses, and farms spend $218 billion a year on growing, processing, and disposing of food that is never eaten. That is surprising to me. 21% of the fresh water, 18% of the cropland, and 19% of the fertilizer available is used in the service of producing food that will only end up in the trash. And though much food is wasted before it ever reaches us, the consumer, 27 million tons per year, 43% of the wasted food in the United States by weight, is wasted at home. 27 million tons of food every year. The typical American waste between $28 and $43 of food per month. The typical American throws out 40% of the fresh fish he or she buys, 23% of the eggs, and 20% of the milk. The most wasted fruits are citrus fruits and cherries. The most wasted vegetables, sweet potatoes, onions, and greens. And Jonathan Bloom, in his book American Wasteland, said that American families throw out about 25% of the food and beverages they buy, between $1,300 and $2,200 per year for a family of four. The Lord Jesus said, pick it all up so that nothing is lost. Wow. How am I wasting food? This is not a personal testimony, by the way, but just kind of, how are we wasting food? I'm including myself in this number for sure. First of all, I waste food by letting it go bad. In the refrigerator, on the counter, in the pantry, food going bad. I waste food by throwing it away even though it hasn't spoiled. I don't think I want that. It doesn't look very appealing. Throw it in the trash can. A third way I would suggest that we waste food is by overeating it. I read a statistic that said 10% of all food made available to humans is overeaten. Overeaten. Now, on the other hand, we could say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to waste food, so I'm going to eat every bit of it. You know, then I could overeat on that end. I could be a glutton that way too. So, you know, we got to be wise and careful. And finally, I would suggest that we waste food by not using the nourishment of the food for God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Another point. Why does Jesus care if I waste food? Why does he care about that? I'd like to suggest two reasons that come to mind, and there may be others you think of. First of all is the whole idea of stewardship. Everything that I have, everything you have, is a gift from God. It's also the possession of God. He just lets us be a manager of it, a steward. And it's also, I would suggest, a training and a testing by God. That everything He gives to us, whether it be food or anything else, He uses that to train us to be more like the Lord Jesus and to test us. We're to be stewards of His creation. We see that from Adam and Eve. We know that we're to be stewards of the material blessings that He so abundantly provides, and we're so blessed in our nation. And we see even that day there by the Sea of Galilee, we find them eating, and there was plenty for everybody, and there was extra left over. It's not good stewardship to waste food. The Lord Jesus cares about that. And then the second reason I would suggest Jesus cares if we waste food is love. It's not loving toward others to waste food, especially those in need of food. The National Resource Defense Council said that if we rescued 15% of our food waste per year, we would save enough to feed 25 million Americans. 60% of the population that faces food insecurity. We might also say, I should have put this in there, really, it's probably shows a lack of gratitude to God, that we don't appreciate what He has provided for us. And, of course, the money that we spend on wasted food, we could take that money and we could invest it in heaven. We could be rich toward God, as the Lord Jesus said. Oh, finally, how can I address my food wastefulness? These aren't going to be points necessarily that I can give you a Bible verse for, just practical ways that if it matters to the Lord Jesus and He says, pick up the fragments so that none is wasted, then what can I do in my life? I can't do anything about what's happening on the farm or what's happening in transportation. I don't work at a supermarket. I can't do anything about that. I don't have input or stock in a grocery store. But most of that, remember, was not most of it, but a lot of it was occurring in the home. So what can I do in my home? First thing is obviously spiritual, though I'm going to suggest they're all spiritual in that sense. Pray for wisdom and sensitivity. God, this matters to you. Maybe I've never thought about that before. I'm sure didn't expect to hear a devotional on it. At least He didn't preach a whole sermon on it. He just did 15-minute devotion. Number two, how can I address my food wastefulness? Don't cook or put on my plate more than I will eat. Now, we told our children that, right? When they were little. We may still tell our grandchildren that. Don't take more than you can eat. You don't want to waste that. The same is true for us. You know, it's okay to get seconds. And if we didn't cook enough, then it's all right to eat something else if we have it. Number three, wisely plan your shopping and meals. Plan in advance. Be careful with the quantities that we purchase. We only have so much, maybe, leeway there, a small or a large package. Maybe we don't have some of that, but even if we think we're saving money, if we throw it away, we didn't really save any money by buying that big thing with the great deal, right? You know, when we ended up throwing part of it away. And then beware impulse buying. That still falls under this idea of wisely planning. Have a list when you go into the store and say, that's all I'm going to buy. This is what I need, and I'm not going to get extra. Number four, This is really interesting. I hadn't thought about this, but I saw this suggested, and I thought, that's really neat. What about you go in there and you're buying some fruit, and you got this really weird-looking shaped piece of fruit, you know. I mean, you know what it is, and you're picking over that one, right? Put that into the back. I'm going to get the good. What about if you bought that one? Bought that weird, the one that didn't look as good as the others, and because they're probably going to throw it away. But if it's okay to eat, why not buy it and eat it? Hey, a good way not to waste. Number five. Everybody's going to, I know y'all going to bring it to me Sunday. I'm going to get like a bunch of brown bananas. I know. I'm ready. Kim will make some banana bread out of it, all right? Okay. All right, here's number five. Shop in your refrigerator first. All right, shop before you go. Save your extra food if you have leftovers rather than tossing it. Save it. And there's, I'm not a cook, so, I'm not speaking from experience, but you can take almost any leftover and use it in a meal. There are a lot of creative recipe ideas online. Some of you folks may know about them. And that's a really neat thing that we could share with each other. If you know how to take leftover food and make a soup out of it, then share that with some of your brothers and sisters, and maybe we can all take up the fragments so that none is wasted. Number six, store food properly. You didn't know we were getting a home ec class tonight, did you? But I'm not going to tell you how to store it properly. We won't have time for that. I'm just going to tell you to do it, all right? Should it be in the refrigerator? Should it be at room temperature? You can freeze things and they'll last. Do that. Number seven, this is an interesting one too. Don't overemphasize expiration dates. I'm serious. Go online and look this stuff up. I'm not making it up. That there is no federal standard for expiration dates. The only thing that truly is dangerous by the expiration date that you shouldn't use after is infant formula. Other than that, there's the best used by, sell by, used by. But here's what I found out was true. The smell test. The smell test beats all those expirations. We throw food away. I watched a video. They were throwing gallons of milk into a dumpster, okay, because the expiration date, and there was nothing wrong with the milk. I also learned something from our sister-in-law, Danielle. You remember that test? I smell the gallon of milk. Man, that stuff's bad. Pour it in a glass and smell it, right? No, what you're smelling is around the edge of the jug. All right? Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Okay, here we go. We're getting down to the end here. Number eight, compost for your garden or someone else's garden. Bless a believer who has a garden. Bring them some compost. Bless an unbelieving neighbor who has a garden. Bring them some compost. They'll appreciate it. Don't have to pay for it. That's great. Donate to a food bank. We have one right here. Urban Ministry is a good place to donate. You could even donate fresh food there. And then lastly, get accountability. Kim shared with me, she saw, are you familiar with Pinterest, social media where you can kind of, Instagram, excuse me, I got the wrong social media, all right. Instagram, she posts, what she does is her food, every bit of food she wastes every week, she posts it. And I didn't say it was you. Kim told me about this. She's going to start doing it. This lady, her accountability is every week she takes all the food she wastes, takes a picture of it, and posts it on Instagram saying, I wasted this food this week. That's her. She knows she's going to have to do that, and therefore she's not going to waste very much food because she don't want to humiliate herself in front of how many of her followers she has on Instagram. I don't know. So does Jesus care if I waste food? I believe he does. You say, well, what's more important, reading your Bible or not wasting food? I'm not trying to say what's more important, all right? I'm just saying Jesus said, don't waste it. Get up all the fragments. He didn't want any of it wasted. And so will I prayerfully address my food wasting? Each of us will need to answer that so that nothing is wasted. We could go way beyond food, but we're going to go straight out of the text tonight, and we'll close in prayer. Father, thank you for caring about every little part of our lives. Lord, thank you that walking with the Lord Jesus includes even how we address food in our lives. Father, we live in a nation where we have so much. Father, we know there are brothers and sisters and many unbelievers around the world that don't have the food they would like to have, and many of them don't have enough food. And yet, Father, we are reading about the billions of tons of food that we're throwing away every year. And Lord, we can't do something about all of that. All you want us to do is to be stewards, or at least what you want us to do, be stewards of what you've entrusted to us. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your precious word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.